Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Hannah Murray on TRE in the afternoon.
Joining us on the line now is Millie Goldsmith. She's a London-based content creator and entrepreneur with a loyal and rapidly growing online community. Her book, Things I Told My Notes App, is a secret diary of an oversharer. It's a relatable, honest, and inspiring collection of inside thoughts about love, life, and personal growth, the good, the bad, and the laugh-out-loud funny. Welcome to the show, Millie.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Oh, it's lovely to have you with us, and congratulations. How does it feel to have a book out?
Yeah, it is absolutely crazy. It's been the most insane week and year of my life, but it's so nice to actually like have it out and people reading it and getting people, you know, all the feedback. So it's really amazing.
Oh, lovely. And this all started by you sharing a video talking about the fact that you were single and hadn't had a boyfriend, and loads of people could totally relate and sympathize, and it just went crazy online.
Yeah, it was absolutely mad. When I initially like posted that video, I always was just like, every time I do videos, I'm always just posting it really for like my way to just connect with people. But I would never in a million years think that it was going to connect with that many people. Like, it really did like reach millions. So I was shocked, to be honest. But it's nice to know that like, I'm not the only one. And yeah, I'm celebrating being single. I think that was like the one main goal I wanted to have after this book, is just to celebrate being single and being independent.
Yeah. So you're enjoying it. You're at peace with it. It's a good place to be now.
Yeah, definitely. Like, of course, there's going to be times where I feel like, you know, I'd love a relationship and I'm looking at my friends who are in relationships and everything. But I think I've got like such a unique like set of skills being this independent for like 27, 28 years now. And it's just, yeah, realizing what I can do with my own time and like all the freedom that I have. I feel like for so many years, I didn't really give myself the opportunity to like celebrate that. So it's a real big change in my life and I'm really enjoying it. And it's again, like I said, incredible to like see so many other people relate in such a open and honest way. And feel like there's like a whole army of us now that are just celebrating this independence. So it's amazing.
Yeah. And one of the things you said in your video is the importance of kind of celebrating yourself and knowing who you are and loving who you are. And funnily enough, I suppose a lot of people have probably told you this over the years, but when you are really happy in yourself and you are independent and you're doing your own thing and you're perfectly happy, that's normally when a potential partner mm-hmm. comes along, because they see yeah. you and go, wow, she looks like she's got it all together. She looks happy. She's having a great time. I want to be a part of that.
Yeah. I mentioned in the book about like there's so many things I mentioned in the book, but one of them being like my attachment style and how I think I'm like this anxious avoidant character, and I think I also attract that as well. So I haven't been like very lucky with men and you know, them feeling confident around, I guess, my confidence and what I'm doing in my life. So that's been quite funny to acknowledge. But I agree, like being happy and just doing what I want to do and putting myself in situations and environments that I feel like I belong in, that make me feel excited, that's really where the people that I should be connecting with are going to be. So hopefully, you know, like it will happen one day, but again, not, you know, the end of the world if it doesn't. I laugh about it quite a lot because I think when I initially started posting about being single my whole life and realizing that it was reaching, you know, millions, there was like this thought in the back of my head that this fear was basically of other people who I may have dated in the past or other guys I might fancy, like them seeing these videos. And in a way, I thought I was like doing, you know, preventing myself from getting in future relationships because of these like viral videos. And, you know, I think some men would probably see it as like, I don't know, an embarrassing thing or whatever, but I'm kind of over that now. So
good.
We'll see.
You are who you are, and that needs to be a good thing. Yeah. And with regards to content creation, it's quite a, I want to say new thing, but certainly in the last 10 years or so, it's a new thing that people do. And I think a lot of older people don't really understand it, don't understand how it works or why you would be doing it. So just explain what it means to be a content creator.
Yeah, being a content creator. So I've been doing it for about 5 years now. And I initially started just posting my fitness journey and posting online my like weekly check-ins because I struggled with an eating disorder for 8 years. So I was going on this weight gain journey. And it was just this sort of way of me to express, I guess, what I was going through. And during the time, my parents didn't know really much about it. They didn't really see like the longevity of it. But I don't know if you're familiar with Gymshark. I was a Gymshark athlete. And with that, I gained more of like a long-term partnership with them, and then over time you gain, you know, relationships with other brands and other people, and it becomes this career. And if you really put a lot of time and effort into it, into all the posts and, you know, the people that follow you and connecting with like-minded other influencers, you can really make it a really like great career. And it's something that I enjoy so much. I think like when I was at school, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I didn't really enjoy, you know, sitting down in an office or like writing, which is quite funny because now I'm an author, but I didn't really enjoy any of the classes. So I always was wondering like, what could I do with myself? What could I do with my career? And I think I just followed like what I was passionate about, which was just creating content. And I think I was there at the right time as well during lockdown where everyone was on their phones and it was like booming. And it still is like it's still so new. And I feel like there's so much future ahead of us online. But also at the same time, like I'm so aware of social media and the detriment it can have on you. And it even has a big detriment on me. So I'm always trying to get myself outside as well and finding that good balance and trying to be like the good, you know, good influencer that people see on their For You page.
Yeah, nice. And how long does it take to put a video or a reel together? Because so often they look like, in a way, it's just done really quickly off the cuff. But then in another way, you think, no, there's a lot of planning and hair and makeup and staging and styling and things like that that might have gone into it. So how often are they kind of off the cuff or take a lot of planning?
It really does differ. I think my way of doing it is I always sort of capture the moment and then I'll sit back down and edit and see what I can do with that video. Whereas some people will, you know, plan a whole storyboard and get different scenes and whatever. But my way is more like a reactive way. So a lot of the time goes into the editing, like not so much the shooting and filming, but the editing for me takes like days. Like some of my reels will take, I mean, with scripting the voiceover to clipping it all up to adding text, it can take 4 or 5 days, like real hard, long days. Mm. But I am a perfectionist. So some days it doesn't take that long, some days it does. But yeah, I think I kind of see it as, you know, like any other editor in the industry, whether it's film or music or TV, like it's long days of just sitting at your laptop or phone and editing and putting clips together. And I think that's, yeah, it's something that can really take a while, to be honest. My parents still don't get it when I'm like on my phone and I'm like, I'm working. And they're like, are you not? And I'm like, yes, I am. I'm working.
And is it important to know who your audience are? So when you're putting a video out there, the fact that the one about you being single and everything, a lot of people could relate to that. Is it important that you know who's relating to you and therefore the content that you're putting out there is for a certain age group or a certain sex or whatever?
Yeah, 100%. I think I've always, as soon as I was like online, I always wanted to just be authentic and myself and be real. And as long as I'm doing that, then I'll attract the same people. I'll always just basically post what I would want to see. So I'm not posting for other people. At the end of the day, I'm actually posting what I think and then just hoping that that resonates with whoever is on the other side of it. But I think off the back of that, that's really brought me like a really close-knit community that is so similar to me. And I think that's why I'm so passionate about it, because I see myself in the people who follow me and they see themselves in me. So it's really like we're just mirroring each other. And I really love that.
Yeah. And are you sometimes surprised, other than this video that we've talked about, that was obviously a huge shock how successful it was, are you sometimes surprised at videos that either don't do as well as you thought they would or do go crazy and you're like talking about the price of bananas or something?
Yeah. Oh, all the time. Some videos go viral for the wrong reason. Some videos go absolute terribly. Yeah, it's never a clear, predictable, job to have. It's so up and down. You just don't know what's going to happen. It's also so dependent on the algorithm. Like the algorithm will change every single day. The TikTok algorithm is different to the Instagram algorithm, which is different to your Instagram story algorithm. So you've got to be like quite on it. But it's very easy to get like wrapped up in the numbers and what will go viral and what won't. So again, like at the end of the day, I'm always just trying to, you know, if something doesn't go as well as I'd hoped, I always think at the end of the day, if I'm proud of that video, then that's really all that matters. And if that reaches, you know, at least one person and it helps them, then I've done my job well.
Yeah. So with regards to this book, Things I Told My Notes App, is it all things that you have been telling your notes app? I mean, have you been keeping a diary over the years?
Yeah, it's really funny. So I never really am one to journal. But after it was like 2024 and Christmas, all of my siblings were at their partner's house and it was just me and my parents. And it was like the one Christmas without them all. And it just made me feel really lonely. So I went back home. I just started to write in my notes app just all these thoughts I had. And whilst I was writing that, it was kind of like turning into this voiceover for like a video. So I thought to put a video with it. And then after that, I was just writing in my notes app all these things that I probably hadn't even thought about for so long because I was probably too scared to think about. And it did become this like journal for me. I'm not good at, you know, handwriting. I'm not good at speaking, but like I'm really great at typing in my notes app and journaling and just letting whatever comes out. So all of the things in my notes app was kind of extended into this book. And when I was writing the book, I wrote it in 3 months. It was like the craziest 3 month turnaround ever, but I found it so cathartic. And like, it was just a huge weight lift off my shoulders when I was writing this book, because everything was just flooding out. And I'm so lucky to go to therapy. Like I go to therapy for about 4 years now and it's amazing, but this is just like another level. And it was so nice to be able to put it into a book. So it's 24 long essays of anything from dating, relationships, to family dynamics, to my past eating disorder, to going to an all-girls school, to funny, embarrassing moments, to anything that you can think of. It's really a big brain dump of stuff. And also a lot of psychology involved in it as well, because I did psychology at uni, so I've always wanted to intertwine that into it as well.
So is it chronological, or how have you structured the book? How did you decide the order?
Yeah, it's in a chronological style. So it starts on the topic of like being a fangirl and sort of like looking into the concept of why we idolize these celebrities that we don't know. And that sort of like plants the seed to, you know, other topics that I talk about in the book, about idolizing just men in my day-to-day life and like, you know, decentering men and everything like that. And then it goes on to, like my family and my upbringing, and then it'll go into throughout like the school years and uni and then up to where I am now. So it is in like a chronological order. It just makes it flow and make sense a lot more, and just sets the scene when you need it to, yeah.
So the fact that it felt like a different form of therapy, do you feel like you're in a much better place in yourself now you've written the book? You feel like you've, what you said, brain dump. It must feel a bit like that.
Yeah, it does. Without sounding cliche, it really has changed my life. And before writing the book, I thought I would be a completely different person. But I obviously, like, there are certain things that still I'm working on every day. One of them, one of the main things being my work-life balance is very off. I'm very just like hard on myself when it comes to like putting pressure on my expectations and everything like that. So I am trying to work on that. But in the side of my dating life and my relationship to myself, I'm in a way better place, like incredible. And hopefully only upwards from here, to be honest.
Yeah, well, that's really good. And with regards to the content, you know, you said your parents don't understand when you're on your phone that you're actually working. How much do you need to be putting out there, you know, as a content creator? Are there kind of hard and fast rules as to how many videos you're supposed to be putting out every day or week or month?
Yeah, it's really hard because the social world, like, timeline is very different to the real world timeline. People forget things so quickly, unlike the social world. So you have to post a lot to, I guess, stay relevant and stay in people's minds. And if people are really, you know, there at the other end waiting for your next post and you're not posting it, then on to the next one, you know. So it is quite hard to keep up with that. There are definitely weeks where I've not posted a single thing and I've had in the back of my head like, oh no, I'm going to lose my job or anything, stuff like that. But again, it ebbs and flows. But I would say with, being a content creator, you do have to really post a lot, I would say, every day, whether it's on TikTok or Instagram. Definitely just staying present on there as well, yeah.
Mm. And is it difficult?
Hard to find that balance.
Yeah, I was going to say, is it difficult sometimes to know what to post about? I mean, sometimes there must be days where there's multiple things that happen that you're like, oh, this will be good, this will be good. And then other days, well, whether you're not feeling great or maybe you're not going out the house much, and it must be like, oh, what am I going to talk about today?
Oh my God, 100%. It is so hard. And I've got a whole list in my notes app of like all these different video ideas that I've not even done anything with because one, I'm overwhelmed or I don't have the content or I'm overthinking it. But I think for me and like my sort of niche, I guess, is I'm always just posting whatever is happening to me in that very moment. So in the same way, I won't really ever run out of ideas because it's just what's happening in my life. And I always think there's always something interesting that's happened in your day. You just got to really acknowledge it and be mindful of what's going on. Like even this morning, I had a really great interaction with my postman, and some people would have just like, you know, acknowledged it, but then did nothing about it. But I'm thinking in my head like, oh, that was a really nice interaction. Like that could be a message about something bigger, maybe like just talking to strangers more or going out of your way to compliment someone. So there's always little, yeah, little things that pop up in my head every day that I'm just writing my notes up, like another video idea.
Yeah, it must make you see the world and look at the world slightly differently. As you say, being more observant to things. So many of these things happen to us or we do them ourselves on a daily basis and you smile and move on. But you're thinking about it the whole time. Or this could be a message. This could be a great video. So I guess you're sort of spotlighting your own life, hopefully in a really good way.
Yeah. The irony is though that I'm trying to, you know, be present in real life.
That's true.
But then be present online. So it's like, does it really make sense? Sometimes I'm looking around and I'm like, oh, everyone's looking at their phone. So it's quite a weird phenomenon, but yeah, it's amazing. I wouldn't change it for the world.
Yeah. And how do your friends feel about it? Are they always like, oh, is this going to be a video? Do they like want to be involved or are they like, can we just have you and your time without it being a video?
Sometimes even on the weekend, I was with my family and my brother-in-law was like, are you filming me? And I was like, no, I'm just having a conversation with you. He's always a bit on edge. But no, my friends all love it. They all are so supportive. And if there is anything that I'm filming, I'll always be like, do you guys mind if I film this? But they're always usually really happy with it. But yeah, I definitely respect their time and, you know, time offline as well as they respect my job. So it's like a two-way thing.
Yeah.
But they're all so supportive. They love it. My mum and dad absolutely love it. I was also with them on the weekend and I was in like the Times magazine and they were just showing it to all their friends and I was just like, all right, you get on with doing that. I'll go get the drink.
Oh, that's lovely though. And I just wanted to ask you about Salt, which is your company that you co-founded. Tell us about that. That sounds really interesting.
Yeah. So I co-founded that about a year ago with my friend who I actually matched with on Hinge, which is always a funny story to tell. But yeah, it's a really great, fun electrolyte brand. We always want to position ourselves in a place of balance. So we found that the wellness industry was just very polarized. It was like, especially with electrolytes, that people were only taking them if they were, you know, running and training for marathons, doing all this crazy stuff. When we realized that there's also a side of it that is being untapped in like the social side. So people who, you know, go out for drinking, but also go on a run, you know, it's finding that middle balance. And me and Henry, my co-founder, we were two people who wanted to do both and we just couldn't really relate to any product out there that was doing that. So we created Salt to make it a fun, sexy, cool electrolyte brand that's full of green ingredients that is, you know, thinking outside of the box and just tapping into that middle market and also really great tasting electrolyte because all the electrolytes that we were having were just tasted like seawater, to be honest. So we wanted to make noise in the electrolyte space. And we're doing so well. We're now in Boots in the UK and on Amazon and Health and just doing so many amazing things. So it's another thing to put my time and energy in as well, which is also really fun.
Yeah, brilliant. I need to get hold of some. I drink electrolytes every day. There's a lot of research into it that says it's a really great thing to start the day with because when you've been asleep, you know, you're losing a lot of salt and things just through being asleep or particularly living in Spain, sweating, being really hot and things. Absolutely. So to wake up and have that first thing is really good. So,
always pour coffee.
Yeah, really, exactly.
Really good. My grandma loves it as well, but also great for pregnant people. It's just, it's an amazing drink. So make sure you get your hands on some.
I will. I'll check it out. Brilliant. Well, if people want to get a copy of Things I Told My Notes app, it's available on our website, tre.radio, and it's by Millie Goldsmith, who we've been chatting with today. Millie, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids, some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.